our devotional background today comes from the book of Acts, verses 6 through 22, and I'll read that at this time. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class?
One of the kids who started seeking the Lord during Doremi was my best friend Caitlin's brother Will. So just pray for him that he'll find the Lord. And also another friend of mine, Dakota, got called to preach. So pray for him that he'll follow the Lord.
It's kind of getting hard to get used to the layout of the new books. I keep having to look back, see what it is I'm going to do here. Yeah, back to reading the Bible. Okay, our lesson today is part one of the birth of Moses. Now, our lesson text comes from the book of Exodus, second chapter, verses 1 through 10. And as Terry read the background verses this morning, it concerned the people settling in Egypt and their captivity there. And we all know the story of Jacob and Joseph and how they wound up in Egypt because of the drought, or dearth as I think it was referred to. And they went down and settled in a part of Egypt that was extremely fertile. And so over the next few hundred years, these people began to grow and grow strong, and they became a powerful sect there in Egypt. And after a couple of hundred years, they became so powerful that the people got jealous of them. And however it happened, they enslaved them and put them to building buildings and whatever they had, and made it difficult for those people. And so our lesson today concerns Moses. who, as we all know, was the one that brought them out of the land of Egypt and took them into the promised land, which was a promise that was made to Abraham many, many hundreds of years before that time. And it was Moses who provided the leadership and the guidance that God wanted to give to the people that he might fulfill the promise that he had made to Abraham and set his people in a land that they could call their own. Now, our lesson begins with the first verse and goes through the 10th verse. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister, the child's sister, stood afar off to wit that would be done to him. In other words, she stood kind of hid, I guess, among the reeds and the trees or whatever that was around this river, and she kept an eye on this basket that held the baby Moses in, and she was wanting to see what was going to happen. Now, I'm going to comment on that in just a little bit. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, the part that I want you to understand is that this was all a part of a plan. And you can see God's hand in this plan. And in Hebrews, let me go over to Hebrews real quick and read you something here. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews and the 23rd verse, this is Paul's writing, we think. And it says, By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now see, that tells me that by faith they hid this child. They knew that he was something special. I mean, there was children being put to death everywhere because it was the rule of Pharaoh that these children were to be put to death. But they knew by faith, because God had told them, I believe this, that Moses, this child was a special child, and he was going to be provided for. So, now, I don't know how long they hid him. Scriptures don't really say, but it might have been for several months. And maybe it came down to a time that they could not hide him anymore. And maybe he was getting of an age that he just could not be kept a secret. So she built this ark type and set him out in the river to float on his own way under God's supervision, because I still believe with my heart that she knew that God was going to look after this child. Now, Moses' sister stood by and watched what was happening here and saw Pharaoh's daughter and went down and asked her, did she want somebody to take care of the baby until it got of age? And she said, yes, God's hand is still in this matter here. And she was able, because God's hand was in it, to go get the child's own mother. Now, think about that. There was thousands and thousands of Hebrews in Egypt. Now, think about the odds against this happening. I mean, he could have just as easily been found by soldiers or by somebody who would have turned him in. But God utilized, and I'm going to talk about this a little more too, utilized our enemy, their enemy, to provide a safe haven for this child who he had, I believe, a special work for. I believe he had something in mind. Now, we find throughout the scriptures that whenever a special event, or whatever, happened, that God has already thought about it, known about it, and has something, or is in the process of having something that will handle whatever that particular situation is. And so we read about different people in the Bible, and Moses is just one example of this, because God looked out there and saw that he needed a deliverer. And he blessed this child, this Moses, and he provided Moses to the Hebrews that he might in time bring them out of bondage and take them into the land of promise that he had promised Abraham. Noah was another. The providence of God fell on Noah's shoulder to prepare an ark. Now, there was a preparation that was made, because God knew that the world was in such a state that he was going to have to destroy it. But he placed upon Noah the burden of saving his family, because Noah was a righteous man. And he built an ark out in the middle of a place that had never seen rain. Had no idea that a flood could even happen in this part of it. Had never witnessed a flood because it had never rained. And yet he prepared Noah and gave him the skills and the means whereby he could prepare an ark that would protect the animals and his family for the future. David is another one that God, I think, placed his hand on as a small child and knew that he had a job for him to do. Now, the people in Israel, they wanted a king. God didn't want them to have a king, but they persisted and demanded that they be given a king. So God pointed out Saul. Saul was an awful king. He defied God on many occasions, but God was there knowing that there was a king in the works. There was a king in the makings that he was preparing, and that was David. And I'm not going into the story of David, but David became a king and probably one of the greatest kings that the Israelites ever had. Elijah and all of the major and minor prophets were put in their place because God needed someone to expound his word. He could look out there in the future and see that he needed these men to be his mouthpiece. And he provided for them. And of course, we can't forget Jesus, who from the foundation of the world was placed here that he might be our Savior. God could see that in the future. And he provided Jesus for us. Knew that he was going to have to give him up. Knew what Jesus was going to have to go through. He went through it and provided for us this great peace that we have in our soul today. Because he could see we needed it. So we find that throughout all the ages, men and women both, unknown to anybody in the annals of history, have been utilized by God to carry this gospel message and this story of him and his son to us today. Countless people have been used by God, down to the point that I believe that he knew that he was going to need a land for his people to come to, that he was going to need to provide for them religious freedom because of the persecutions that had been taking place for so many years, where millions of people had died because of persecutions in Europe and Asia Minor and other places in Africa. And all the places of the world where his people had settled in on, they were being persecuted and put to death by hundreds of thousands and millions. And he could see a need for land that he provided for his people to come to that granted them freedom of religion. Now, in all of this, we also find that he utilized even our enemies, as he did Pharaoh's daughter. As he did Pharaoh's daughter, who was not a Hebrew, who, of course, I don't know her soul, but more than likely was never a saved individual and never did even believe that there was a God. But he utilized her, our enemy, to provide for Moses that he could fulfill his work. Now, I don't for the life of me think that all those that stood and wrote and amended and voted for the Constitution of the United States, they were all Baptists. I don't for the moment believe that. But those men stood and created for God's people, even though maybe many of them or maybe most of them were probably enemies to true Baptists, true people of God. He still utilized their efforts and their responsibilities and their status in life to provide for us a document that declared that we have freedom of religion. So God has been in this plan work even from the beginning of time. And I believe he is still there because we find that our country is, contrary to popular belief, is still ruled by God. I mean, he's still in the heaven, and he's still looking down upon us. And I know that we're not, as a whole country, providing him with our best face forward. But nevertheless, I think God is still in his heaven, and he's still looking down. And to this point, he is still blessing us. But we have history to go back and look at to find that somewhere or other, he removed his mercy and his people went into captivity. I pray that never happens to us. But just like Moses, maybe there's a chance he'll provide for us something, because the scriptures teach that this church, this kingdom that Jesus came and established here upon this earth is going to be there until the end of time. So we don't know where that's going to be, but I've said this before, I'd love it to be when God, when they blow that final trumpet, I'd like them to look down at Faith Church right here and still find us sitting here doing what God would have us to do. Let's go into the fifth chapter of Acts. And let me read you a few scriptures. Fifth chapter of Acts and the 33rd verse. Now they had taken, the Jews had taken the apostles and put them in prison, and they were wanting to kill them. They was wanting to put them to death, and so they were discussing and they were debating about whether or not to put the apostles to death. And in the 33rd verse, it says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. In other words, when they heard the apostles' defense, they took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostle forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to them they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. But you see, there was a man, an enemy of Christ, of the Christian religion, who stood and proclaimed a defense for the people to be left alone, not have their life taken. And his defense was, if this was truly of men, then it would not go anywhere. But if it be truly of God, then there would be a big difference in how the turnout would be. So he counseled them not to take their life. This is just one case here where God again used our enemies to protect his people, just as he did using Pharaoh's daughter. And in many cases today, I think you will still find that there are still those in our government who believe in freedom of religion. And we need to pray for these people. They may be, in fact, our enemy. They may be. But we need to pray to God that he give them the wisdom and the words that they need to profess to maintain the freedom of religion that we enjoy in this country. And we need to not forget that there may be others who are not a part of the true church, who are standing today and fighting for this freedom of religion. And we don't just need to have them standing out there at the front doing this. We need to be in that fight ourselves, because it's more important to us than anybody in the United States that this word goes out, because we have the truth. We have what God wants us to impart to the people, and we need to continue on. No matter what besets us. I read where it said that the council whipped the apostles and told them to leave and not say anything else about, it says they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Now what did they do? They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's the type of people we need to be. We need to understand that the utilization of our enemies is part of God's plan to help protect his people, because his people have never been a great number of people that could overthrow huge portions of the world and take over like some of the other denominations, great religions of the world have done. We've always been a few. But what great power this few has if we'll stand for God and pray to him that he would look down upon us with mercy and kindness, and as he did for the babe Moses. He took kindness out upon his people. And Moses grew up to be a man that would take his people out of Egypt. And I don't want to tread too far into part two, but we'll get the sequel next week, part two. So everybody, let's all pray that we are found working and serving God, because who knows what he might have for us to do. You know, I don't think Moses, you know, knew all of what he was about until God informed him. We don't know what it's all about until God informs us. But let's don't fear that information. Let's seek out the information that God would have us to do, and let us do it, because it's too important for us to turn. Of course, there's always the fact that Moses put up excuse after excuse of why he couldn't do it. And that just like us? Isn't that just like God's people to put up excuse after excuse about why we can't do it? But God told him he's going to do it. Now, he sent him a little help to help him, but Moses was still going to have to do it. Let's be like Moses. And do what God would have us do. Anybody have anything? That's my list. Anybody have anything to add to?
I was thinking about Moses when he went and praised the Egyptians. Just think about how they were the best taught in the world at that time.
Yeah.
And he praised them.
That's right. And you know why? You know why I think that, Don? Was so he could talk to Pharaoh. I mean, so he could be one-on-one with Pharaoh.
Was that what the scripture Moses could see what the Lord had for him, and he chose to go? Was that scripture? Was that scripture? He chose to choose the affliction of the people rather than to be turned over and become a Egyptian.
Yeah.
What is it? Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
He made a choice there.
And you know, you have to think about it. Moses had everything. I mean, he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He had everything. He had it all. Power, wealth, he had everything. Yet, he knew where his sympathies lie. Anyone else? He does. And if you sit and piece all the pieces together, it becomes really amazing.
It's overwhelming.
It is. It really is overwhelming.
We can't comprehend it. And what it means to us.
Can't. Anyone else? Billy, would you dismiss us, please?